Well, I'm very excited to kind of dive into our first spiritual gift tonight. And this may seem like a strange choice for the first gift in the series, but the reason I chose it is because it's one of the more mysterious gifts, and it's one of the ones that's more, I think, misunderstood than some of the other gifts. And tonight we're going to talk about the gift of discerning spirits. I really encourage you, when you get the textbook, if you don't have it yet, there's a whole chapter, chapter 6, that's very, very well written on this particular gift. Way more information than we're going to talk about tonight. But so take a look at chapter 6, particularly if you're interested in this particular gift. But where do we see the gift of discerning spirits in the Bible? We see it in 1 Corinthians 12, and it's in the list about verse 10. So he's going through the list of those verses, those gifts, I'm sorry, the work of miracles, work of prophecy. And then he says, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. So that's where we get what's called the gift of discerning spirits. It's plural, and probably a better translation would be differentiating spirits, but usually we just call it discerning spirits. The Greek word comes from the idea of judicial differentiation. So like in a judicial situation, you're separating truth from fact, or this is what the judgment is and this is what the judgment's not. It has to do with discern, comes from that the idea of discern, assess. So to look at facts and decide what's what, what's this and what's that, what's true and what's not true. And then there's also the idea of distinction. So it's a word that's separating a group of a bunch of mishmash stuff and sorting out what's in the midst of that. That's where this word comes from. There's only two other places that it comes up in the New Testament, this word. It's actually a pretty rare word. One of the places that we see it, of course, that we saw it in 1 Corinthians 12, but is in Romans 14:1. And I'll just read that. Romans 14:1 says, as for the one who is weak in his faith, welcome him, but do not quarrel over opinions. It seems like that would be a strange use of this word discerning, but where this comes from is don't split fine hairs when somebody is coming in who's weak in their faith. Don't get into a bunch of arguments separating this from that, the minutiae of this from the minutiae. That's where it's the same word we're talking about, discerning spirits. The only other place that it comes up in the New Testament is in Hebrews 5:14, and we'll look at that just in a little bit later in some more detail. But so how do we kind of begin to understand this amazing spiritual gift? Discerning spirits is a supernatural ability to recognize a spiritual source. That's the best definition I can give you for this gift. Discerning spirits, when it's operating in a person's life, this gift is they know where something's coming from spiritually. And we know from the Word of God there are only two ultimate sources of spiritual power or spiritual energy in the universe. There's God, the forces of light, the angelic forces, and there's the rebellious or duplicating forces of Satan and the fallen angels, which we call demons. So there's really only two places that things can come from spiritually. And the great thing about this gift of discerning spirits, a person who has this, as they grow in that, they're able to sort out where something's coming from. This gift can tell the difference between true and false. Many times, person who has this gift can tend to be a black or white person, you know, in terms of it is or it isn't. There's not a lot of gray in their lives sometimes, not always, but you see that because they're very attuned to what's true and what's not true. This gift gives us spiritual insight into where and how the Holy Spirit is moving. We're going to talk about some other things this gift does, but I want to start with the reality that one of the most precious things about discerning spirits is it is a person who has a special sensitivity to what the Spirit of God is doing. So in a meeting, what God is doing in a person's life as you're praying for someone, okay, I see what the Holy Spirit's doing. I see what the Spirit of God is doing. It's really an amazing help and an amazing gift in that situation. Probably the part of this gift that gets more press and maybe too much press is this gift also brings spiritual insight to detect and expose satanic strategies and demonic activities. So people with this gift, with the gift of discerning spirits, are very good, especially as they grow in it and get more mature and begin to understand the gift of when there's demonic something hassling somebody, there's a demonic something coming against us, a satanic strategy, they're the first ones that their radar picks up on that. This gift, the gift of discerning spirits, often answers the question, what is the spiritual source of this? So a teaching, some teacher, a book, a video, a movie, a person, a movement. People with the discerning spirits can say, okay, what's the source behind this? And they're amazingly gifted at sorting that out. I don't have this gift, but I'm married to somebody who does, and I was asking Dina about this a lot. And she said it's kind of like, you know, when you go to the movie? We went and saw the latest Star Wars in just normal duty, you know, because I was too cheap to pay for the 3D. And then a couple months later, you know, I said, let's go see it in 3D. And of course, you know, when you go to a movie and see it in 3D, you can look at the movie, not so much in the old days, but nowadays you can see the movie and you know what's going on, but it's a little bit fuzzy. But when you put these things on, it's like, whoa, you know, the battleships go, ooh, and everybody's going, whoa, you know. It's like that in terms of 3D. I think that's a decent illustration of people with discerning spirits. We're all looking at the same thing. We're all experiencing the same thing. But they have a special enablement, a special spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit, where they see in 3D, ooh, whoa, good things and also bad things too. So I don't know if that's helpful or not, but so that's some of the some of an understanding, a basic understanding of this gift. Let's look at some examples, I think, probably in use of this gift in the Bible. We're going to try to do this every week as much as possible to look at biblical examples of the gifts we're talking about, but probably the clearest one is Paul when he ran into this Philippian slave girl. You'll see that in Acts 16. This is in Philippi, the beginning of the church in Philippi. And in 1616, in the early days of that church, Paul and some of his guys were going to a place of prayer, and they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. Let me just remind you that there are only two spiritual sources in the universe. And any time that someone is doing something, fortune-telling, divination, telling your future, there's only two places that can be coming from. And in this situation, it was coming from the demonic. 17, she followed Paul and the whole group and cried out, "These men are servants of God the Most High who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And she kept doing this for many days. Now, if you were just new into town or trying to plant a church, wouldn't that be kind of cool? I mean, someone followed you around and well-known, you know, person who tells people their future and keeps yelling, "Hey, these are the real deal. This is really God. And wow, you know, make sure. Whoa." Sounds like pretty good PR to me. But after many days, halfway through 18, Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, interesting, the Spirit in this person, this woman's life, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. So there was a demonic spirit that was bringing this thing to the surface. What's interesting about this situation is she was saying true things, but she was saying holy things, but the source was coming from an unholy source. Does that make sense? This was true about who these guys were, but it was coming from an unholy source. And Paul recognized that's tainted. Even though it's true, it's not coming from a helpful place. And so he calls her out on this, and he actually brings her freedom, which you think would be great news, but in verse 29, her owners saw their hope of gain was lost. She couldn't tell any more, you know, fortunes demonically, and they'd lost their little cash cow, so they seized these guys and dragged them into prison. But that's a great illustration of discerning spirit. And many times, something sounds good to our ear, but a person with discerning spirit can say, yeah, they're saying the right thing, but something's not right in the source of that. And that's a very helpful thing to have in the body. I'll show you another one in Acts 18:8. This is Peter and a guy called Simon the Sorcerer. Chapter 8, verse 18. So this is when revival had broken out in Samaria early in the church. Remember, Philip went up into Samaria and just people were getting saved left and right, and all kinds of just amazing things were doing. And the apostles went up to help bring some banks to that to what was going on there. And in Acts 18, in Acts 8:18, Simon, there was this guy, Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying of the apostles' hands. So this guy named Simon, who was kind of a diviner, enchanter, the apostles were laying on hands, and he offered him money and said, give me this power also, so that any whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. We've talked about this in the class of year last time. You know, hey, this is pretty cool. You lay your hands on people and God touches them. How about if I just give you some dough and let me do that too? Because that's pretty cool. That's a cool trick. It's kind of basically what he's saying. And Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. In a way, he's asking for a good thing. Like, I see what the result of your ministry is. It's a good thing. I want to do that too. On the surface, that's maybe not a bad request. But he said, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So again, this is something that maybe looks good on the outside, this thing that is this request that he has, but Peter sees right through that, this gift of discerning spirits, and says, you are so twisted and so bent. Actually, you're not even on the same page we are. Unless you get your heart right, you're not having anything to do with this. So that's that dividing, that separating. We talk about one of the things of discerning spirits is this is this and this is this. This is exactly what he was doing in that situation. Give you another one, just to sort of rock your world. Revelation 16. We'll talk about this a little more in just a minute, but I just wanted to see it in Scripture. Revelation 16:13. A lot of times, people with discerning spirits, they see things in manifestations in very real ways. Let me just read this, then we'll talk about it. This is, of course, John. Revelation 16:13 says this. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are demonic spirits performing signs who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of the Almighty. So a lot of times people with discerning spirits will see things in terms of animals, creatures. That's the best description I can give because I don't have this gift. But so they see things that the rest of us don't see. And then what I want to encourage is that, again, one of the reasons I wanted to start with this gift tonight is there's a perception that the discerning spirits is all about the evil. It's all about seeing and ferreting out evil. And that's a very powerful part of the gift, which we'll get to. But I want you to see that discerning spirits also sees good things as well. It's not just about demonic and not just about satanic and calling those things out. The discerning spirit gift is amazing because God reveals angelic things and things the Holy Spirit's doing. In Acts 27:23 is maybe kind of a neat illustration of that with Paul again. He was in a ship going to Rome. Things were going sideways in a big way. And all the professionals were thinking they were all going to drown. And things were looking very, very bad for the ship. And Paul calls everybody together in the middle of this huge storm, in the middle of this big mess. And he says, this very night there stood before me an angel of God whom I belong and who I worship. Do not be afraid. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I've been told. But we must run aground on some island. So there's a caveat in it. But many times people with discerning spirits will see angelic beings as well. And so this is one of the neat things about this gift. Will be doing something in church, and I've heard it at Oceanside a number of times. People say, you know, I heard angelic choirs and singing, and it's a very encouraging gift in that way because, again, they're kind of seeing things because of this gift and sensing things that a lot of the rest of us don't see or that aren't taking place. So how is this gift helpful? Well, it's super helpful. It's an amazing, amazing gift in the body. A couple of things I can tell you about how it's helpful from experience and from the word is it can warn the body of a dangerous person. This is a really, really great gift to have in the mix of church because Scripture talks about wolves who come in sheep's clothing, a number of places in Scripture. These are people that look really good on the outside, but they have an evil intent in their heart. They look really religious. They sound really religious. They may even be great speakers or have some wonderful ministry, but a person who has the gift of discerning spirits can see through the facade and see what's inside. Again, the source of where that's coming from. So I'll just give you a really practical example. I don't know if you know or not, but in Sunday morning, in every service in our church, there's always an elder at the door. There's actually a roster every week, you know, and so you know who's elder at the door. It's not just some goof standing around. There's a roster. There's a roster for everything in our church since Russ has come anyway. But there's an elder at the door. And what an elder at the door does is stands and just watches over what's taking place. And simple things like if a person that we don't know goes out to the bathroom, we'll go out with them just to make sure there's no kids in the bathroom. We don't know who that person is. We don't know what's going on. We'll go out with them. It's just a person who's discerning what's going on. Not every elder has this gift, but there's something in that that's a protective and a watching. And a person who has discerning spirits, and I've seen it so many times in our church, will just maybe come and whisper in my ear, "Who is that person? Something is not right. Maybe we should just keep an eye on that person." And of course, we've had people that have come in. You know, we've had witches come in. We've had all kinds of different people come to our church, try to do stuff in our church. And the discerning spirit gift is amazing because they just call that out right now. They know right. I mean, they don't even turn around sometimes and they know what's going on. So it's an amazing gift in terms of protection for the body because they recognize dangerous people that we don't always recognize. Pedophile. Discerning spirit's great in that in terms of protection for our children. So it's a very practical gift that way. People with discerning spirits, they can help people who are living a double life. Now, this might sound a little scary, but, you know, maybe all of us, to certain degrees, have lived places in our life where we had a double life. We had a religious part of our life, maybe on Sunday morning, and then we had a Saturday night part of our life, you know, or a hidden part of our life. And that's toxic for us, to have a separation where we look one way, but then we actually live another way. That's not God's intent for us. It actually tears us apart. And it makes us easy pickings for the devil. A person with discerning spirits, when they're operating maturity, will see a person who's in that situation and with the cooperation of the rest of the body and the other gifts, many times that person can help a person get free from that and bring that thing to light. Addictions is a good illustration. Sometimes a person can see through a facade of Jesus churching us and just gently say, you know, are there any issues? And that addiction can come out and can say, oh man, I've never told anybody, and will you help with that? And then it comes into the light and breaks the back of the hiddenness of that addiction. So discerning spirits is an amazing gift in that way too. It can bring freedom for people. Can bring light and help people get free of sin that's trapped them, secret sin, that the rest of us wouldn't necessarily see, but the discerning spirit person can see that. Discerning spirits is an amazing gift. It can identify spiritual blockages in a person's life, sometimes leading to deliverance and freedom in Christ. So the best illustration I can give you is the demonic is kind of like walking in mud. You know, sometimes you get some stuck to your boots. And depending on where you are in your life and how much access you've allowed Satan, there's a lot of crud can get stuck to you. And a person with discerning spirits can see what's taking place. A lot of times we'll be praying for someone, and the person that I'll be praying with or has this discerning spirits, and they'll say, hey, you know, there's a blockage here. There's a demonic blockage here. We need to sort that out, and we pray that through. And in the authority of Jesus, we see that person freed from that. And so many people have said, man, my whole life, my whole Christian life changed when that hassle that I sometimes didn't even know about was freed. How much do we want to get into this? Not as much as I have, but anyway, I just want you to know, I want you to see the specifics of how amazing how this gift is. And one of the other things, again, I want to finish with is that one of the amazing things is that this person can recognize and highlight the activity of the Holy Spirit. It's not all about the evil, but it's also about what God is doing. And they can say, you know, God is doing something amazing in that person's life. And we can go and pray and release and encourage and you know, throw gas on what God is doing in that person's life in a good way. So not always about demonic. It's just that they're seeing sources, good and bad, in a person's life. So how do you know if you might have this gift? We're going to try to do this every week. Every gift we talk about, I want to try to help just put some handles on. And let me just say, some of this comes from experience. It comes from kind of 30 years of ministry experience. It comes from collective experience of us as a church, you know, Oceanside Church, it comes from the background of NCMI and the sort of the flow that we're part of. So it's important to know and to just to keep focusing on the Word of God, which we need to be our guide. But I guess what I want to say is there are some things in experience that we've also learned about the gifts that are worth talking about, but they don't have the same weight as something that we can show in the Word of God. Am I making any sense? Paul says sometimes, I, not the Lord, in some of his writings. Paul's talking about, this is what I've seen and experienced. It's good for you to know that. And so some of the things I want to talk about, how you know you might have this gift, I can't show you chapter and verse in that, but just sort of spending time in the Word of God and being around people and watching those gifts come through, that's what I'm going to try to help sort of tease out so you can kind of go, oh, that's what's happening in my life. That's the purpose of this sort of this last section every night. But so how do you know if you might have this gift? Well, first off, it's important that all of us can have this gift to some extent. And this is an important thread that I've really been thinking about a lot about lately. Are these gifts just for one person, or can all of us experience some of these in some level? And I'm blurring the lines that I used to have on that issue. Let me give you a couple illustrations. In Hebrews 5:14, I mentioned the third occurrence of this word. This is the third place it comes up in the New Testament earlier. Hebrews 5:14. Hebrews 5:14 says, in the context of the Word of God and growing in the Word of God and sort of bringing some correction to these guys who had not gone on like they should, he says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, there's the word, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, I don't believe this is in the context of spiritual gifts. When you look at the context of Hebrews 5, he's talking about all Christians. And what he says is, when you wash yourself in the Word and you immerse yourself, the more time you spend in the Word, the better you get at discerning right from wrong, because the Word is the thing that helps us to do that. So I do think there's a measure that we can all grow in discernment. Even if you don't have the gift of discerning spirits, the Word of God, the more time you spend with the Word of God, the better you get at some of these things in this area, okay? 1 John 4:1-6 is another illustration. Different word, but the same idea. Let's just read that. John 4:1-6. This is in the context of false teaching and false prophets that were coming into the church. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from the God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, who you heard is coming and is now in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. He who is in you is greater than he is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever does not know God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So this, again, is, although the word discerning is not in here, it's that idea of separating truth from false. And I think all of us can do that. As we grow in the Word of God, I think we get better at the smell test, you know, when we hear a teaching or we read a book or we watch a video or whatever, we go, ah. Dina used to be a heavy cash handler when we were first married in a commercial bank. I mean, she counted thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, literally every day, because that was back in the day when, you know, you used cash. Now, just drug dealers use cash, but everybody used cash back then. And they didn't so much teach her, you know, here's what counterfeit bills look like. There were some courses like that. But there's such a variety that they just said, if you spend lots of time counting the real thing and you're laying it out, as soon as you hit one, you'll go, something is not right. You know, I can't even make my finger, but because she had spent so much time with the real thing, when something fake would come through, you would see that. I think this is an illustration of discerning, which we all can have, whether we have the gift of discerning spirits or not, in terms of, as the more we know the Word, the more we know the real thing, when something fakey comes along, we go, So I do want to encourage you that all of us, I think, to some level can grow in this. But there is a specific spiritual gift, and here's how you may recognize you might have it. You may see angels or demons. I remember the first time that Dina saw a demon that she told me about. we were driving down the freeway in Edmonton, and she said, "Do you see that horrible thing attached to the top of that car as it went by?" And I thought, "You mean that 1986, you know, Pontiac Ventura?" No. Well, I don't see that, but she saw something on that. So they'll see actual demonic manifestations. They'll see angelic beings as well, good beings. You might walk into a room or drive down a street or meet or even see a person and sense something is not right. That's a good indication probably of early days of potentially the gift of discerning spirits in your life. And you may recognize that you may not be the person who needs to take action in a situation just because God reveals it to you. Now, this is really key. Every one of the spiritual gifts, I think, come with a challenge, okay? And I think discerning spirits comes with a great challenge because sometimes you see pretty yucky stuff. You see addictions, you see demonic, you see pedophilia, you see double lifestyles. You know these things, and that's a great weight for someone to bear, okay? Matter of fact, we're going to have a panel up in a minute. I'm sure they can talk about this, but sometimes a person with discerning spirits even has trouble just going into a park or being in a mall in a public place because there's so much stuff going on that they can't even turn off the radar because it's just who they are. It's a weight on a person who has discerning spirits. And I think one of the things that's really key for a person who's growing in maturity with discerning spirits is this. Because God has revealed something to you, it doesn't mean you necessarily are the person who has to take action in dealing with that. This is where the toolkit comes in, and God brings the body of Christ around to be able to bring. So just because God shows you something doesn't mean you're the person who has to fix that, go through a 58-week on pornography with that person and help them, you know, whatever. You may not be that person. But what you are is you're the person who's helping the rest of the body, the leadership, the mature believers to say, hey, this could be an issue in this person's life. Maybe we can start to pray about approaching that and seeing if that's really a true reality in their life. So all I'm trying to say is if you have this gift, don't let that thing crush you because it can be a crushing gift. I know people with discerning spirits will sometimes say, more than any other gift, I'll hear them say, I wish I didn't have this gift. I wish I didn't see all this stuff. I wish I didn't sense all this stuff. Well, in maturity, you're growing to say, thank you, Lord. Doesn't mean I have to fix all this stuff. Okay? God may show something to you just because he wants someone to pray into it. That thing may not need to be revealed at this time, but he wants someone to pray into it. You pray into that. You go after that in your spirit. You don't need to tell anybody sometimes. You pray into that. Learn to work in conjunction with other members of the body, and in particular the leadership of the church, trusted leaders who understand how this gift works. Many times you're just the mailman, really. I mean, I don't want to put too fine a point on this, but for people with discerning spirits, I want you to relax a little bit. Your job is just to listen to God and to grow in that gift and to give that information in a safe way to a safe person who can actually help that person. That's where the body of Christ comes in. That's where leadership comes in. So you're sometimes just the delivery boy for that. And then I just want to say, if you have this gift, I really want to encourage you to learn to walk in absolute confidentiality. I wish there was a spiritual gift of confidentiality because I would hope that discerning spirits goes with the gift of confidentiality. Why is it people who don't have the gift of discerning spirits are nervous when we talk about this? Like when I had this panel come up here, you know, Gina and I were joking around at the end. Well, is there anything you want to say? No, we're not going to do that, okay? And people think that's what people with discerning spirits have. They're reading your mail all the time, you know, and prophetic. It's not like that, okay? But you really need to grow in your understanding of confidentiality. Paul says, I see dimly. We all are growing. We sometimes get things right in our spiritual gifts, and we sometimes don't. And you just can't say to your prayer group, I saw a guy in church, and he's a pedophile. You can't do that. You might be wrong, okay? You have to find a way in the body of Christ to work those things through and to grow in that thing. And so confidentiality has to be so important for a person. I hope I'm making sense. Use with the discerning spirits, or I see you nodding your head, so I think I'm getting close here. But be very, very careful about confidentiality with this gift. This is the same thing we're going to talk about with the prophetic gift at the end of the course, too. So that's a quick overview of the gift of discerning spirits. Let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for this gift. It's such a powerful gift, Lord, such a key gift. Lord, I just want to pray for those that have this gift and are learning they have it, Lord, that you would give them great grace to carry this weight. Lord, help the rest of us that don't have this gift to tune in when they tell us something, Lord, to pay attention to it. We thank you for this gift, Lord. Amen.